Hey everybody, it's Lindley Oz, and I have a very interesting, quite frightening, actually, story for you. Another experience I had just the other night. Of course, it seems like I can just never have a dull moment around here. A dull moment would be much appreciated, but will I get that? I guess it's up to God. So the other night, I go to bed, lay down, go to sleep. And the place where I live, you guys already know by now, I live in a high crime area and I have an ADT security system that my landlord provides here. So I went ahead and set my alarm and went to bed. So around 2:45, 3 a.m., I'm awakened by the very loud ear-piercing sound of the security alarm going off, and it's telling me that the front door is open. So I'm like freaking out, right? Because there's no reason why that alarm should be going off. So all of a sudden, the ADT people are calling me on the phone. It's a woman, and she's asking me if I'm okay. And by that point, I'm laying face down on the floor on the other side of my bed, opposite my bedroom door, which my bedroom door was closed, but there's no lock on it. So the woman is wanting to know if I need the police to be called, and I'm like, yes. And I'm trying to talk very quietly. I'm talking in a whisper. I'm freaking out. I'm like, yes, because I don't know who's down there or why it says the front door is open and I'm afraid to go down there. So she calls the police. Of course, the police take like 15 minutes just to get to my house. But in the meantime, like maybe, I don't know, 5 or 7 minutes after the alarm had been going off, I hear crash bang downstairs. I don't know how I can describe the intense feeling of panic and fear that was going through me because, usually in most cases, if someone breaks into your house, it doesn't end up good. Like, usually you can get shot and killed. So I'm laying there face down, like, I felt like I was gonna have a heart attack, and I'm not kidding. I literally thought I was either gonna get killed or die from a heart attack first. So I'm panicking on the phone with the lady, asking her where are the police. I'm telling her that I heard a crash and a bang downstairs, and I'm scared out of my mind. My mouth was dry from the extreme stress that I was enduring. I have to say, I think it was the most fear stress that I have experienced in my entire life. So I'm just looking under my bed, under the bed. On the other side, I can see my bedroom door. And she's like, I'm here with you. And I'm like whispering to her. I'm like, yes, you're here with me on the phone. But what good will that do me if they come up here and shoot me? So I'm like, my heart is just, I can feel it. It feels like it's gonna beat out of my chest. I feel like I'm gonna throw up. I feel like I'm gonna go to the bathroom on myself. I'm so terrified. So she keeps telling me the police are on their way, the police are on their way. I'm like, please hurry. Like, my whole body is shaking. My whole body is shaking and I'm scared to death. So finally, the police do indeed arrive and they want me to come downstairs. But I'm scared to come downstairs because I don't know who's down there waiting for me. So I slowly get up and walk and go down the stairs, very, very scared. And I make it to the bottom. I'm looking around. I don't see anything. And I go to the door real quick and open it. So the little box that is used is on the doors, on the windows, that makes the alarm go off if a window or a door is open, was laying on the floor. So what ended up happening was it came loose, and that's what set the alarm off. And then the crash bang I heard. Now, keep in mind, I have high ceilings and hardwood floors. So anything like that that's hard that falls on the floor is going to sound absolutely horrendous. There's going to be echoing and all sorts of stuff. So it came loose, set off the alarm, and then a few minutes later, it fell to the floor and it shattered into pieces. Now, I don't mean that it broke. It just has different parts and pieces to it. So that's what all the noise I heard was. So everything ended up being okay. But I just want to reiterate, even though everything was okay, it was a traumatic experience. I cannot even come close to describing, as I just mentioned a little bit ago, the extreme amount of fear that was within me going through this. Like, I guess you could equate it to being on an airplane that's going to crash. I mean, I really believed and had every reason to believe someone was in my house downstairs, just based on everything that had happened. And 9 times out of 10 in those situations, they will come and kill you. And I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to do if they come in my bedroom? What's going to happen? I'm like scared to death. I can't even believe this is happening to me. So I just want to reiterate that. And there's a reason I'm reiterating that to you. So the Bible, for example, tells us that in the end, there will be extreme fear. People will be trembling with fear, people's hearts failing them. Jesus talks about thieves entering the house. Jesus talks about how his coming will be comparable to a thief entering. And I want to share those verses with you real quick. And I have a few things to say about that. So I'm going to go over to the Bible app online real quick, show you some verses, talk about it, and then we're going to come back with me on the screen here talking to you. So before we look at the verses on thieves breaking in and stuff like that, I want to look at these verses right here in Matthew chapter 10. It says, "Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So that's what we are supposed to fear. And you know, most of us, or I'll just say the church overall general, the enemy is in our house, creeping around, stealing. Stealing, you know the verse, which I'm going to show you in a minute. Jesus defines what the characteristics are of the thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is actually a process of the destruction of the church over a period of many, many years until the very end. Steal, kill, destroy. And we're talking about spiritual things, stealing the truth from the people, stealing through deception, stealing the hearts of God's people, killing them spiritually because they're living in the flesh, which the Bible says that if we live in the flesh and walk according to the flesh, we're not in Christ. And therefore, we are rejecting salvation. We are apostatizing our faith. And then destroy just the all-out destruction of the temple, meaning the hearts of God's people. So that's the process. We're going to look at that verse. So you see here, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now let's look at some other verses here. So we're going to look at some other verses here. We're going to go to John chapter 10, verse 10. Okay. So John chapter 10, verse 10, but I'm going to start with verse 7. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." So the thieves are these false teachers, false prophets. You can find those among authors, teachers, preachers, pastors, evangelists, people on YouTube, whatever they may be. They are the ones who are the thieves. So they are working for Satan himself. Most of them don't even realize that they too are deceived, but they represent Satan because they are deceiving the people. And then, of course, you have the church, the people, the body, Those people are deceived by the false teachers. And what's the process? Jesus tells us, what is a thief? Someone who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And how do they do that? Through deception. However, Jesus came that we would have life and have it abundantly. So now let's look at a verse in Thessalonians. That verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:2. So now we know what defines a thief and what it means. So 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape." What did Jesus say? He said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and what? Destroy. It is mentioned here in this verse, while they're saying peace and safety, destruction comes upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child. But jump back up to verse 2. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. All throughout the Bible, it talks about the curse of anxiety and fear that comes upon the church at the end. You can also find that in the curses and the blessings, but it's also written about all over the New Testament. So it says, the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. So what happens when a thief enters your home? Remember, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if a thief breaks into your home, you are going to have extreme panic and fear, stress, anxiety, because that thief, more than likely, number one, you know he's going to steal from you. But number two, he's going to more than likely try to kill you or destroy you. And that is what the enemy does, like a thief in the night. Now let's look at 2 Peter 3:10. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away." That's referring to the true teachings of the Lord, the church, the destruction of the church, the people of God, with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The elements is referring to the people of God, their hearts, their temple. The intense heat is the wrath and the anger of God, purging us of our fleshly ways, destroying the flesh nature in us, and the earth and its works will be burned up. What do you see in Revelation 13? The beast of the earth. That's the false church, the false teachings, the false teachers, the religion of the earth, and its works will be burned up. In other words, the works of the flesh and the false religion will be burned up. God will destroy those things in us, in our hearts, with his intense heat. The heavens passing away is referring to the falling away of the church. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all of his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. That's taking place and has been taking place for a while. People distorting the teachings of Paul, using them to teach things that are false, such as hyper grace, which that's written about in Jude, and also teaching once saved, always saved, and that you can basically continue living in sin and living in the flesh, and you are still saved, even though unless you take scripture out of context, which is very dangerous, the Bible does not say that. The whole entire Word of God is a living being. It all flows together. Jude tells us about these people who have crept into the church unaware, turning the grace of our God into licentiousness, which means excess and shamelessness. So Jesus Christ himself defined for us what is meant by a thief in the night. Comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it's referring in this case to spiritually, and it's the process of the destruction of the church. First, the false teachers begin to spring up all over the place little by little throughout the period of the church history into the future, and they grow more numerous. Just like it talks about the woman who snuck and she put leavening into the lump of dough and it spread and became huge. Jesus also said that the gate is wide, which leads to destruction, and many will enter in through that gate, but the gate is narrow, which leads to eternal life, and only few, which means a remnant, will find it. So that's the first process. Stealing. Stealing through deception. Stealing the hearts of God's people, which then leads to the next part, which is kill. Killing us spiritually. How is that? By stealing our salvation, robbing us of the truth through the deception to where we're living in sin, thinking it's okay, not realizing that we do indeed have to obey Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We have to obey his commandments, but it has to come from our heart. It cannot just be superficial. Then we become like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It has to be a heart change. So steal, kill, and then what's next? Destroy. The destruction of the people of God, the destruction of the hearts of God's people, which we read about all throughout the Bible and has everything to do with the end. Now let's look at two verses in the book of Revelation real quick, and then we'll come back once again to here. First, we have here Revelation 3, verse 3. It says, so remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Then you have also Revelation 16:15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. What is that referring to about keeping his clothes and not being naked? Well, when you don't have the seal of salvation, remember Jesus is seen ripping off the seals in Revelation chapter 6. The Holy Spirit is the seal of our salvation. So when you are living in the flesh and you reject Jesus or apostatize your salvation, which you can see in one of the Ten Commandments, do not take the name of the Lord God in vain. The mark, name means mark, memorial, monument. In vain means false and meaningless. A false covenant, Jesus talks about those types in Matthew 13 using the picture of seeds. Some seeds fell on stony ground and so on and so forth. So when you apostatize your covenant or backslide, or in other words, you turn away from the Lord and go back to the ways of the flesh, then you are naked because you do not have the seal of salvation hiding your sin nature from God, and then everyone will see your shame. What is licentiousness? Shamelessness. Shamelessness. Hypergrace. Turning the grace of our God into licentiousness. Hypergrace. But everyone will see your shame because you will not have the seal of salvation. So here's what the most frightening thing is. And it was the first verse that I showed you when we went on to the Bible app program, and it was talking about fear God. Don't fear those who can destroy your physical body or kill you, but only fear God. Fear God who can punish you. Don't fear those who can destroy your physical body. So what's scary is most of the church today The thief is in your house. The thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you wonder why there's so many problems. You wonder why things aren't going right. You wonder why it's one thing after another. I tell you, my friends, there's a difference between suffering for being a Christian, that is called persecution. That's when you do something for the Lord and you put Him first and you suffer as a result for your decision. It could be something that affects your job, your money, your finances, a friend, a relationship. That's persecution. But just suffering in the flesh constantly, all of these things, if you study the Bible, come from sin. It's because we, the church, are choosing to walk according to the ways of the flesh and disobey God and live in disobedience. Therefore, we are worshiping Satan and making Satan our God because Satan is the God of the flesh. So we have a thief who has entered in to our hearts, entered into us. Remember the verse in the Bible where it talks about when the unclean spirit leaves the man. This is a person who takes the name of the Lord in vain. They make a false vow. They don't stick with it. Again, review Matthew 13, where Jesus talks about the seeds to read about those different types. So when we first announce Jesus as our Savior, the unclean spirit leaves us. It wanders around in the dry places. And then when it returns and it finds the house swept and clean, meaning it has not been filled with the Holy Spirit because the person's still living in sin. They're not fully committing themselves to the Lord. It brings back seven more who are more wicked. And then the state of that man is worse than it was to begin with. Now, I believe it's in Corinthians, but I could be wrong. There's a verse that supports what I just told you. Here we go. And I was wrong. It's in 2 Peter. It says, these are springs without water and mists driven by a storm for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, there's your word vanity, taking the name of the Lord in vain. They entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome. That's apostatizing right there. Apostatizing, backsliding. Someone who has learned about the Lord, accepted Him, but then they are again entangled in them and are overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Who is the way? Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. So let's look here at Matthew 12 about the unclean spirit, beginning here with verse 43. It says, now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, meaning without the spirit and without the power of the spirit, the Holy Spirit, seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will be with this evil generation. It's talking about the end, the waterless places. The waterless places, the desert, the wilderness, where we are at the very end. Let's look at it in Luke 11:24. It says, but when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away from him all of his armor on which he had relied and distributes his plunder. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest and not finding any. It says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. So going back to 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. So my friends, the thief is in the church, stealing, killing, destroying. The destruction has happened. The destruction has indeed taken place of the temple, meaning the hearts of God's people. We have evil spirits dwelling within our temple, profaning us, defiling us, corrupting us. Jesus talks about that too in Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 14. He talks about how nothing that goes into your body can defile, which means desecrate or profane the temple, but it's what comes out of our heart. And what comes out of our heart? He talks about all sorts of different sins in the heart of the people of God. That is what defiles the temple. He uses food as an example, but that passage is not really about food. You see, God's people are profane, defiled, desecrated because they're listening to the false teachers and the false teachings, which have to do with living in the flesh and practicing sin, no longer honoring the commandments of God, no longer obeying Jesus Christ, Yeshua. My friends, this is a huge, huge problem. So what kind of came to me? I was so terrified and horrified because I thought a thief was in my house. And I had every reason to believe a thief was in my house, but it was a false alarm. And I believe most of us in that situation would have been just as scared. Maybe there's some of you who wouldn't have been, but most people would have been absolutely terrified in that particular situation. But shouldn't we as the church be more terrified by the fact that this is not a false alarm? There are thieves in our house destroying us. And we're listening to false teachings, accepting it. We may study the Bible here and there or study through a false, bad pair of glasses, but we aren't removing things from our minds that we have been taught. Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Become like a child is defined as unlearned and uneducated. We have to go back to square one like we never even heard about Jesus or God. And we have to study the words and look at everything through a fresh set of eyes prayerfully and let everything else go. And if we do not do that, then we're going to continue feeding on the false teachings, which is toxic. My friends, if this video message has blessed you, I just want to urge you to please consider sowing a gift to what I'm doing. The support has been down for a long time, but it's been especially bad here recently. I've hardly gotten anything at all. I did have a few people who stepped up to the plate to help me during the time of this move. You guys know who you are. I appreciate it. I just went to the post office the other day. It had been over 2 weeks. I had one gift someone sent to me, and that was all that I had. So it's running dry. So I really, really need your guys' help. This is what I do full time. This is my full-time job. And I know I have been really slow lately. That's because I just had a very stressful move. The house was still being renovated. I couldn't put things away. I moved to a whole different area, into a much cheaper house. So that's what I've had to do. So please help me. Pray about it if you have to, but I really, really need you guys to help support what I'm doing. It is very bad. I do have medical needs. I still have dental needs. I haven't gotten enough to do anything with that. I have some teeth in the back of my mouth that desperately need attention. I need help. So if you feel led or moved, please consider it. Thank you so much. And thank you again to those of you who have helped me. I appreciate you. And God knows who you are. And I know who you are. And I love you and appreciate what you've done for me. I also want to remind you guys to make sure that you share these messages. I'm censored, hindered hugely all the time. I also have a free WordPress website. I'm urging everyone to go there and subscribe to it. I don't spam, I don't have ads, nothing. Doug Diamond and I are sharing it. Doug does prophecy news updates, and I do the Bible study stuff like I've done here today. So the website is free to subscribe, no ads, no spam. It's truthhuntersshow.com. Every time I post, you will get an email update. So make sure you subscribe. That way you don't miss it. If you only rely on YouTube, you're going to either get unsubscribed or you're going to miss the updates when I post a video. Sometimes those updates can go to your junk or your spam folder. So if you do not get an update for a long time, check your junk, check your spam, do what you need to do to make sure it doesn't go there again. Although that could happen again. Anytime it goes a long period of time where you have not gotten an email update, always, always check your spam and your junk and mark it as not junk or not spam. Help me fight the dreaded censorship on YouTube by subscribing to my website. I also have a free podcast. It is on my website as well. Doug Diamond also has one where you can listen if you prefer to listen instead of watch. It's on Apple Podcast. That's where my podcast is at, but it's also on my website. I usually turn every video into an audio file for the podcast. And when I make my post on my website, I post both the video and the podcast. So take your pick, whichever you prefer. It's there if you want it. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you for watching. God bless all of you. Please take these things seriously. The Bible is our everything. It is the living, breathing word of God. It should be your number one priority in life, the word of God to us. Why don't we study it more? Why don't we look into it even more deeply than we do? I can't tell you when I used to be a nursing assistant years ago, I did home care for a long time and I would go into people's homes and every time I saw a Bible anywhere, it was covered with dust. Don't let the Word of God be covered with dust. Open it, read it, study it, study the words. Use one of the Bible app programs. I have a link to a really good one, the one I use on my website. It's lifebible.com, or you can use Blue Letter Bible, whatever you prefer. But study the words, very important. Don't just listen to everything you hear, don't believe everything you hear. Study, 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 because then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.